So welcome everybody. This is the Office 365 Developer Patterns and Practices weekly webcast. So we call that the BNP webcast. And in this week, I'm here with Erwin van Groenen, and we're going to talk about the Office 365 BNP PowerShell and what is this PowerShell commandlets, which are part of the Patterns and Practices package. I'm a senior program manager from Office 365 Engineering. And Erwin, feel free to do your intros.
Yeah, good day. So Erwin van Groenen, I'm a solution architect. I've been working with SharePoint for quite a while. Vesa and I go back quite a long time, actually. Vesa used to be in front of me in a classroom training me for the master program. So yeah, that's me in a very, very short nutshell, very brief nutshell.
Sounds good. All the relevant stuff was covered. But I'll let you do it. So Erwin is going to take the lead, and I'll jump in and ask questions like I tend to do always. So feel free to take it away, Erwin.
Yeah, thank you. So PowerShell is a bit of my, some people say, it's a bit of my baby. And the commandlets are a bit of my baby. So I'm trying to get to the next slide. Yes, there we go. So, and this is also how I ended up actually with the PNP work through these PowerShell commandlets. I've been building a lot of commandlets that I felt were relevant, that were lacking in the offerings right now on the market that allows you to do stuff towards Office 365 from a client-side perspective. So without needing to install something on the server, you can still do things with Office 365. So I started building those, and they became part of PNP, and they have been growing considerably throughout the last couple of months. And I will give you a short introduction on how they work and what they do and why they are actually interesting for you. So first of all, it's really important to stress, I think, that it's open source. We don't do any magical things behind the scenes. So you can dive in, have a look at how we build the commandlets and what kind of calls we make behind the scenes. The whole idea behind the commandlets is that it is a community effort. Everyone can join in. I love to get your feedback. I love to get your code examples or your code in there. So we use GitHub just like the normal PNP core. So go ahead, join in and download it for free and use it throughout your organization.
That's a good point, by the way, Erwin, on that one. So it's not an Erwin effort. It's hopefully growing. Yeah.
Absolutely. So, there's been several commandlets already in there that I didn't write, and they were brilliant. So
And obviously, it's not just about writing the code or submitting code submissions. It's also about giving feedback, and if you're running into the bugs or issues or whatever, included or reported.
And I'll be the first to admit that something that is lacking in the commandlets is examples. And what is lacking also is documentation. I mean, we're developers, documentation is always lacking. So commandlet documentation, I would love people to help me with that. And I would love people to help us with building samples, how to use the commandlets. I mean, you have a brilliant script out there that uses the commandlets. Please share it with us, and we're more than happy to host it. To give you an example on why we think these commandlets are actually cool, or why I think these commandlets are cool. This is old school PowerShell code, and I say old school between quotes because it's actually using the client-side object model. But you see, you have to write a lot of plumbing in order to get those that functionality out there. If you look at this script on the screen, what it effectively does, it creates a connection to your Office 365 tenant, and then it creates a list, and then it adds a field to that list. That's the thing it does, nothing else. So in the beginning, I still have to tell PowerShell that I'm gonna include some assemblies that contain the client-side object model, and then I'm doing an authentication, and then I'm creating the list, a couple of lines of code. Then I define the field XML, and yeah, we all love XML, don't we? So, I mean, this is totally not readable effectively, that field XML. Unless you've been working with SharePoint for a long time, it might be second nature to you. But it's still very, very not user-friendly, I would say. And then you add the field in the end, and then you execute that query. It's what you're doing here, if you're a developer, it would make sense. Because this is how you code it in C#, but now we actually replace the C# commands for PowerShell command list. That's the difference.
But good question, Erwin, on this one. So obviously this is writing the C# or C# using a PowerShell. And maybe the PowerShell was originally an evil plan to teach IT pros to write code. That's my thinking. But what about the SharePoint Online commandlets? Couldn't you be using them as well?
Yeah, you could absolutely. Well, yes and no. I get that question a couple of times. So, what is our relationship to the SharePoint Online commandlets? The SharePoint Online commandlets are more focused on management of the Office 365 tenant, creating sites, removing sites, adding users, removing users. That kind of level of administrative tasks you do with those commandlets, where the PNP commandlets are more focused on managing artifacts in sites.
Makes sense.
So the site is there, and the moment the site is there, you can create lists, add fields, remove fields, create views, and those kind of things. So that is the difference. So there is unfortunately one commandlet in both the SharePoint Online commandlets and in the PNP commandlets that has the same name, and that is the get SPO site. Other than that, they don't overlap, and they complement each other, I would say.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So this is old school PowerShell. Lots of code, but not very readable. So if we switch over to new school PowerShell, this is doing exactly the same. Now, to get it on the slide, I had to use these line breaking things there, these little back ticks there. But you could write it, of course, on one line. So effectively, it's three lines of code, three lines of PowerShell commandlets that are executed here. So the first line, I actually building up a connection. So if you're a developer and you're watching this this recording, you will think of this as building up the client context. That's what's happening with Connect SP Online. Then I create a new list, and then I add a field to that list. And that's all there is to it. And I will show you in the demos how this line works, because there's some tricks that this line actually, this commandlet does when it comes to authentication or some easy things that makes your life a bit easier. So I'll demo that. Now, when we talk about the commandlets, there are a lot of them. And this is actually not even complete anymore. There are even more. So this list is growing constantly, and growing. So if you look at what's happening here at the commandlets, adding lists, removing lists, retrieving items, uploading a file, exporting a term set, creating a request to re-index the site, setting a theme, getting a group, creating a group, etc., etc. It's very complete. Is it completely covering everything? No, it's not. We might want to introduce more commandlets, and we will likely introduce more commandlets in the future. So to give you an idea about if you consider contributing to the commandlets, they are effectively relatively thin wrappers around the core library. Some of them are contain a bit more code internally, but the majority of them are relatively thin wrappers about core library methods.
And on that one, Erwin, actually, can you explain what is a core library?
Sure,
I don't think everybody understands.
No, good point, very good point. The core library is the PNP core library, which is a separate package you can download, a NuGet package, allowing you to basically simplify your client-side object model code by using all the extension methods that we wrote, and there's like hundreds and hundreds of those, to just make your life easier. So effectively, the commandlets use that same packets. So they wrap away, we abstract away a lot of the complexities of CSAM into very simple to consume methods. And that's basically what the commandlets doing too.
Yeah. And that then, well, looking into this list of these commandlets, this is really around the remote provisioning, isn't it? So you're able to control how the site behaves and what we have on the site. So doesn't that mean that you're able to automate, for example, site collection creation and apply a branding and apply all of the needed configurations on the sites as well?
Exactly. So, and the where I see the big benefit of the commandlets compared to, for instance, because you could do that whole thing with provisioning, you could write that in C#, you could write code, and then that code you can compile and you can run. The downside of that is that if in the future you come up with a change to your provisioning process, if you want to add another list, you would have to recompile your code. And in this case, it's just a matter of updating the PowerShell script.
Yeah.
No recompilation required, and you also don't need to know C#. It's PowerShell. So this is typically something that an administrator, who not always has the knowledge about coding in C#, enables the administrator to do provisioning tasks without actually writing a single line of code.
Great.
So, overview. Let's actually show the commandlets in action. Let's have a look there. So I'm going to switch out of this presentation and try to get my desktop to show, but it doesn't work. We can leave this side behind the screen. Here we go. So PowerShell. So the PowerShell commandlet is a downloadable MSI file. It's an installation package. And if you install them, they will register themselves in your PowerShell session the moment you open up PowerShell. It works by adding a path to an environment variable called psModulePath. And the moment that path is in there, PowerShell will automatically know about the existence of the PowerShell. So if you are a SharePoint server administrator, you might be aware that you always have to add the PS snap-in thing. Or maybe you're already using the shortcut like this to do that from the server. So that is not needed for the PMP PowerShell commandlets. It's a module, not a snap-in, so it's automatically loaded. Open PowerShell, they are there. So the first thing you do then to use the commandlets is to enter a connect commandlet. So you do connect SP online, and notice that the word says SP online, but let that not fool you. It works towards on-premise too. It's just using client-side object model, so there's nothing with it, but we had to come up with a unique name for the commandlet, so we used SP online. So you enter a URL. So I'm going to reuse a site that I've been using for months already, so this one. And then you can enter credentials, get credential. So if I press enter, it will pop up a credential and I can log in. And there we go. Now, if you, this you have to do basically for every session or every script that you use towards Office 365 or your on-prem environment. Now, you'll notice that I get prompted for the credential. And that doesn't make much sense in this context, especially not when you want to script things, and maybe you want to automate that script. You don't want to be prompted with a password all the time. So what you can do is, if you press enter like this, you will notice that I'm not authenticating. How does it figure out what to use to authenticate? So if we look at the Windows Credential Manager, so you find the one in the control panel. There's a credential manager, there's a Windows credential manager, and you notice there's this entry here. What the PowerShell command does, it will look at the URL you're connecting to, and it will work its way backwards. So it will first see, is there a URL called HTTP sites ignite 1? No. Is there one called sites? No. Is there one erwinmcmsharepoint.com? Yes. Okay. And I put credentials behind that. And you can create those as a generic credential. You just enter the URL here, username and a password. And then it will automatically use those credentials it finds here to connect to that site. So it will not prompt you to that for that site. Another option is if you do this and you enter a label here. And this label that you enter there is represented by that entry here. It can be any label. So you can have multiple labels. So if you want to log in as, for instance, an administrator, you create a admin label there. And if you want to authenticate as a normal user, you create a user label there. And you can authenticate with those labels without being prompted for a password. So that way you take away, you could of course in your PowerShell script hard code your user ID and password in there, but of course you don't want to do that. So using this way of connecting to the site takes away the security issue of having your user ID and password in there, and also allows you to automate your PowerShell script. So now I'm connected to the Ignite One site, and if I want to retrieve, for instance, all the lists in that site, I just enter get SPO list, I have the lists there. So what the PowerShell commands do, they all return objects of the actual client-side object model. So this is a full list there. So you see, for instance, there's my documents in there. So if I retrieve that one, identity, and I can enter here the name. I could also enter, if I feel like it, the grid there, or I can even enter the URL in there if I want to. If I press enter here, I get the document object back. So if I put this one in a variable and look at the properties, you'll see all the properties available to the list are there. So I can change variables, properties, set values, etc., retrieve the items, whatever I want to do with it. Now, if I make a change to this object, and that's the whole concept of client-side object model, you will have to update that item back to the server. You have to tell the server, hey, I changed this document library, I changed the title, for instance, to something.
So Irving, that's essentially the web object in a client-side object model, right?
Yeah.
In this case, list object, absolutely.
It's a list object, but yes. It's a full list object, So test documents. Now the document library has been updated, or the title has changed. I'm telling the document to be updated. So this doesn't do anything yet. I just told the object to update itself. Now I have to tell the server that change is going on. If you look at the site here, you see that it still says documents there. So now I have to say execute SPO query. It will send it off to the server, and if I reload the page, now we change the library to that. So it's a relatively simple and easy way to make changes to objects. Now, a common question I get is like, sometimes you get these error messages like, let me see if I can actually reproduce one of those. There. If I retweet, why don't I see the views? Why are there no views in there? I know there are views. If I go to the test document library here, I see there's an old documents view there. So why does this not show in my commandlet? Why do I get this? Well, of course, it's a scary, airy red message. So like, ooh, something is wrong. No, nothing is wrong here, actually. What's happening is that in order to optimize the data flow between the client and the server, the client-side object model does not retrieve the values of all the properties unless you tell it to retrieve that. So effectively what's happening here is like, okay, I want the views collection, and it says also an error occurred while enumerating through a collection. It has not been initialized. You will have to tell the server to, hey, listen, I want to have the value of all the views in here. Now we have actually a commandlet there that does that specifically for you. I can say get SPO view, which list, test document. And there I have my views. So I can create views also. I can say add SPO view, for which list, test document, with title, demo view. I can enter a camel query. I just say, I want the title view, the field in there, nothing else. Create a view, there is my view. If I go to the test document library, there is my view. Very simple to create a view. And you can see, because it's PowerShell, it's very easy to automate this. So if you want to push out a view to I don't know how many sites, you just build a loop, looping through those sites, and you will add a view to it. Creating fields, same idea. So if you want to get an overview of, see, for instance, how does that get SPO list commandlet work? Get SPO list. So what can I do with that commandlet? So help get SPO list will give you sometimes it's a very brief description, sometimes it's a more complex description of how it works. And there is also the the detailed one that, for instance, shows you an example here. With three different examples by, just give me all the lists, give me one with a specific identity. It can also be the title of the list if you want to use, or the URL of a list.
And this one is coming essentially from the source code of the commandlets, right? So if somebody doesn't like the description or the sufficient current help message, it's open source.
It is open source. Absolutely. Yeah. The way it works is that these examples are all embedded in the source code, and when we build the commandlets, they are being extracted from the source code, and then they are added to an XML file. And that's how PowerShell commandlet help works. There's a very big XML file containing all these examples and descriptions in there that we generate on the fly.
Great.
So, getting an overview is of all the commandlets, and you will just help SPO star. It will go through all the files and show you all the commandlets, because all the commandlets for the PNP start with SPO. But you will also might have, if you have the Shepherd Online commandlets installed, you will see also them popping up because they also contain SPO in there. So it's a very big list of commandlets.
But the module element is essentially saying where is it coming from.
So. Exactly, yeah. So you see here SharePoint, Microsoft Online SharePoint, Azure, and here you see the Office Dev PNP PowerShell, for instance, there. Yeah. So the one that is used the most lately is the Get SPO Provisioning Template. And I won't go into much detail about the engine right now, but this is, the most popular commandlet that we have. Although we don't store or retrieve any metrics about it, but I see that people use this one the most. And effectively, what this one does, again, is a very thin wrapper about around the provisioning engine that is located in the core library, and retrieves the provisioning template from the site. And if you just press enter right now, I won't do that, but it will retrieve the template from the site and outputs it to the standard output, unless I say out to a file here. Template, like XML, for instance. And then it has all kinds of switches, if you want to use term groups or site groups, or you want to persist the compose look files, etc. So this is by far the most popular one, I say, combined with apply SPO provisioning template.
Just that means, again, Erwin, so doesn't that mean that you're able to have a live template site, you're able to extract that and then create new site collections based on a site which was actually created using or configured using a browser?
Exactly what you can do. Yeah. So you have a live site somewhere, you build a PowerShell script that generates five new sites. Just one at the beginning of the script, you extract the template and then you apply it to all those five new sites. Yeah. And the commandlets can create new sites too. So, enter a title, URL, description, owner, etc.
Just obviously the obvious note on this one: you need to have the right permissions to obviously do this.
Yeah. With the risk of going too technical, I just wanted to stress this a bit. In order to create new tenant sites, you will have to connect to your your tenant admin site. You know, you have to connect to your, in my case, if you look at the URL here in the top, Erwin MCM, it would be Erwin MCM -admin. Now, the commandlets, these ones, they do a little trick. They check if you're connected to that admin site. If so, it doesn't do a thing. If you're not, it will do that internally for you. So it will reconnect effectively behind the scenes to your admin site, and then it just assumes you have rights to do that with the credentials that you authenticated with, and connect to them, create the site collection, and then it will connect back to the old site when it's done. So it's basically doing some context switching behind the scenes here, and you don't see that happening, but it does it, just let you know. If you don't want that context switching to happen, you just connect to the like this to your admin site. And you see, I didn't have anything associated with my in my credential manager, so I get prompted for credentials. So if I do this, so now I'm connected to my admin site, and I can create new site collections also. So this is in a very brief nutshell, because as I said, there's like more than, I think right now we're over 130 commandlets. So there's so many things to discover here.
So Irvin, where do we get this, and where we can get more information?
Actually, you get them from here. So the way to retrieve them, if you go to github.com office dev PNP PowerShell, so just go to the root here, like this. You'll find there's actually two ways of retrieve them. And at the time of this recording, we just released the October 2015 release V2 of the commandlets. So if you go to the binaries folder, there you will see two MSI files. And there's the commands 15 for SharePoint on-premise and commands 16 for SharePoint online. The reason we have different ones has to do with the fact that there is a different client-side object library, or client-side SDK, for the different versions of SharePoint. So this is a way of doing it. And this, we have been doing this for months like that. I actually would recommend you to instead go to now to the releases option here. So if you click on releases, you will find the latest and greatest release at the top. And there you can download the two releases and then run them. The question I occasionally get is, can I have both installed at the same time? Out of the box, no, unfortunately, because they contain the same assemblies, but just different references inside of those assemblies. If you want to know that, how to do it, I actually considered writing a little blog post about that, because you can actually have them both installed, but you will have to do some copy and pasting magic and some other script magic. So that will happen anytime soon, that I'll write a blog post about it. So you can see how to have them both installed at the same time. Because it's not uncommon that, especially if you have a hybrid environment, that you have an on-prem version of SharePoint and a cloud in the Office 365.
Just because somebody's going to ask or comment this about, now this one doesn't seem to have the latest version right now.
No, that is absolutely correct. Because I said it's been just released then. This is like you see an hour ago, and I haven't been ready yet to upload that specific release to this item here. I'm actually just after we finish this recording, you will notice. So the moment you view this recording, you will see that there will be an October 2015 entry there.
Or November or December, whenever you are actually.
Whenever you, of course, yes. Whenever you're doing this, indeed. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that is that's it. Source code, yeah, of course, it's here. Go to the commands folder. We structure things a bit in subfolders, but if you go to that list commandlet that I've been demoing, there is the get list commandlet. Go ahead. It's nothing more than this. That's the get SPO list commandlet. And then the majority of the code you see here is actually plumbing. So it's actually almost more lines of code here to show the documentation, the generated documentation, than the actual lines of code that retrieve the list and show it on the output. So don't let the concept of building your own commandlet scare you away if you want to, because it's very relatively simple. I would say it's very simple to build PowerShell commandlets. You can make them very complex. And there's a couple of things to understand, how it works with the parameters and what to inherit. But other than that, it's very simple. And I would love to see new commandlets. I would just love to see that. So yeah. Please join in.
Absolutely. Thanks, Irvin, for the demo. I think that pretty much sums the whole thing up. So thank you, Irvin, for your presentation for this weekly PNP webcast. And then next week we have a new topic. But absolutely, for people watching the video, please get familiar with this stuff. You are more than willing to just consume them. But at the same time, this is community-driven program, open source program, so we would highly appreciate if you find any issues, bugs, or if you have development ideas, write them down or submit them using the GitHub, or even contribute using code if you feel familiar of doing that. Anything you want to say still, Irvin?
No. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.